Welcome back, everybody. This is the first inning, and we're back live on YouTube and also on Spotify and everywhere you can listen to a podcast on. Just Google search the First Inning Radio Show, and you'll be able to listen to us on any platform you have. We're going to talk about the last 2 weeks because our radio show was interrupted by the doubleheaders. So we're going to catch up today and talk some baseball. It's been really bad. I know it's been really bad. Your boy Garrett Cole is kind of hot, meaning it's not a cold summer yet. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and then we got, Brett Gardner. We have to talk about that. And what else? But I'm here with Roger, the big Yankee fan. Say hello, Roger.
Good evening, BX Bomber. Yes, we had some scheduling difficulties with some doubleheaders, as you said, where the Yankees were on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, and then some other scheduling difficulties. So we're coming on Saturday evening, and good evening. And the Yankees are having some difficulties as of right now. And the Yankees right now are tied with the Toronto Blue Jays for second place in the division. And they will be battling the Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles the majority of September. It will be against the Orioles and the Blue Jays, except for one series against the Marlins at the end of the season and a series against the Boston Red Sox up in Boston. But other than that, they'll be playing the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles for the majority of September. So it really is going to be looking like it's going to be a battle between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore and the New York Yankees at this point in time to get that wild card, get that second place position at this point in time. Yeah. And if as of right now, looking at the standings, if the Yankees do not get second place in the division, they would qualify for the number 8 seed as of right now in the playoffs. And they have a strong lead for the number 8 seed. So they could either get second place, or as of right now, they could fall into the number 8 seed for the playoffs.
Well, let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rays series. That joint was crazy. Yeah. So, with the brawl.
Sure. I'll,
and Chapman, I guess, throwing at, I don't think he threw at him intentionally. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And, right, exactly. I don't think so. I'll do the rundown and then we'll discuss. And since we last
Henry. Shout out to Henry that checked in. Wanted to say.
Oh, yes. Hello, Henry. Hello. And since we had our last show, the Yankees had a doubleheader against the Braves. And the Braves won the first game of the doubleheader 5-1. And Ian Anderson had his pitching debut against the Yankees, and he was very good. And Acuna had a 473-foot homer. And they snapped Cole's unbeaten streak. And in the second game of the doubleheader, the Braves won 2-1. And Max Fried really shut down the Yankees. And Freeman hit a two-run home run. And then the Yankees went on to play the Mets and another doubleheader. And so the Braves swept that doubleheader. And then the Yankees went on to play the Mets in another doubleheader. And the Mets won the first game 6-4. And Green allowed three home runs as the Yankees skid hit six games, and Judge went back on the injured list. And in the second game of the doubleheader, the Mets won 2-1, and the Mets were considered the home team at Yankee Stadium. And Rosario had a walk-off home run, and there were RBIs for the Yankees by Hicks, Pratt, and Sanchez. So once again, the Yankees were swept in the doubleheader against the Mets. And then in the third game, the Yankees won 2-1. And J-Hap pitched a very good game, did very good pitching. And Kratz flashed the bunt at the end of the game. And Betances threw a wild pitch, and the run scored. And that's how the Yankees won 2-1. And now another doubleheader. The Yankees won the first game of the doubleheader 8-7 over the Mets. And Voit had a double, and Hicks had a home run. And then the second game of the doubleheader, the Mets Yankees won 5-2. And D.V. Garcia pitched a great game, making his pitching debut. And Sanchez hit a 453-foot home run. And then that was the Yankees sweep of that doubleheader. And now we get to the Rays. And in game one, the Rays won 5-3. And Cole definitely had a bad game in that one.
Yeah, that was and terrible.
And then the second game, the Yankees won 5-3 again. But this time the Yankees won. And LeMahieu had two home runs. And then in the final game, the Rays took 2 out of 3 in the series as the Rays won 5-2. And Urshela had a double and Frazier had a home run. So the Yankees once again lost 2 out of 3 to the Rays right there.
Hold on one second.
Okay, sure.
About the Tampa Bay Rays, that was a must-win series. You know what I mean? We had to win those games, and they really blew it. I mean, I don't know. I guess it was the pitching. I mean, the pitching was terrible. That's a fact. But not only the pitching was bad, there was no hitting involved. I mean, they were getting shut out by them. The pitcher Glasnow, he had a
Glasnow, yes.
He had a perfect game or something to like the fourth, fifth inning or sixth inning or something like that. And then he walked the guy in the sixth or seventh inning or whatever. And that was a doubleheader or something, right? But they were saying that it wouldn't count if he got it or something like that.
Oh, against the Rays, this series against the Rays was 3 single games. The Yankees won the first game 5-3. I mean, the Rays won the first game 5-3. The Yankees won the second game 5-3. And then the Rays won the third game 5-2. And really, as you were saying, the Yankees, you know, their hitting has been poor. They have a lot of injuries. They've been finding ways to lose. The bullpen has been imploding. The bullpen has been giving it up big time. And they are giving up a lot of runs and losing games at the end of the game. Either that or with all of the injuries, they're having trouble hitting. And they're just playing like a very mediocre team that's losing more games than winning games right now, the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand. It's not really bad baseball. It's just that they're not capitalizing on the opportunities. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they making these pitchers look like Cy Young Award winners against these guys when it really isn't like that, because the Yankees are a hitting team. You know what I'm saying? And I guess without Judge and Stanton, it takes away the fear factor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they I think it was yesterday's game, they were explaining it where Judge is very important to the lineup because he works those pitchers so much that they're tired when they get to the next guy. You know what I'm saying? So, and by the way, they showed Judge working out. But the problem is...
Yes, I saw that.
But the problem is time is running out on the season. You know what I mean? How fast is it going to take for these guys to get back? That's the thing. You know, I know Torres was playing baseball and all that, so he should be back this weekend or something like that, or today or something, I believe.
On Sunday. Tomorrow.
So we should have almost a full squad back. But, man, guys getting blown up in the first inning is not good, man. We're looking like 2019 again. And now the next man up isn't helping either. You know what I mean?
No, it really is a case of they're finding different ways to lose. They're playing mediocre baseball. After getting off to a 16 wins and 6 loss beginning of the season, they are now at 21 wins and 17 losses. And that means that they have won 5 games while losing 11. They have lost 11 out of their last 16 games and have been playing rather mediocre. And, you know, they're finding different ways of losing. You know, there's 4 guys in their lineup many nights that are not even hitting 200. You have Gary Sanchez, Brett Gardner, and quite a number of them are even batting under 200. You know, guys hitting 130 like Gary Sanchez and Brett Gardner hitting 175.
Right.
You
and
know,
Torres will be in the lineup today. Michael confirmed it. So
Henry's
confirm it. And Henry, they confirm it Torres will be playing tonight. So that's great. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, and hopefully, hopefully Miguel and Duhar can start showing some bat too, because he need to start playing too. You know.
Yes, they really have to do some hitting. And as we were talking about, I'll go on to the Yankees and the Mets game that we were talking about. The final single game at Citi Field, the Mets won 9-7 in extra innings. And the Yankees had a 4-0 lead that they blew in that game. And then again, the Yankees had a 7-4 lead that they blew in the game. And Chapman gave up a home run. And Zach Britton gave it up as well. And the Mets won in extra innings. So once again, that's the way that the Yankees
That was a horrible loss, man. Even though it was Tom Seaver night. Rest in peace, Tom Seaver. I took a picture. Oh, yeah. I took a picture of my Tom Seaver ball that I got from him back then when he went to the Hall of Fame and everything.
Right, I forgot to say that.
Tom Seaver autographed baseball. But yeah, man, I was really wanting to win the game. Not even thinking about Tom Seaver, whatever. We really needed to win that game. And the Yankees totally failed that one. That was the worst loss of the season. That was terrible, man. That was terrible.
Rest in peace, Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver was a great pitcher. He pitched 12 of his 19 seasons with the New York Mets, but never pitched a no-hitter with the New York Mets. The Mets have never had a no-hitter. But he pitched a no-hitter when he was pitching for the Cincinnati Reds. And Tom Seaver was only 75, going on 76 years old. And he apparently had gotten Lyme disease. And as some of the complications of the Lyme disease that he got, he developed Alzheimer's or dementia. And that is what eventually cost him his life, was that he suffered with dementia in his final years and really retreated from public life, and then passed away at a relatively young age of 75. So rest in peace, Tom Seaver. He was a very nice gentleman and a great baseball pitcher.
Yeah, and a little bit of Yankee history. Tom Seaver actually got his 300 win in the old Yankee Stadium as a Chicago White Sox.
Right, that's right. And I think that was about 1985 or 1986, towards the end of his career. He came up with the Mets, I believe, in 1967. And, of course, was instrumental in the 1969 World Series for the Mets against the Baltimore Orioles. And then was also rather instrumental in the Mets series against the Oakland A's in 1973. But the Oakland A's won that World Series over the Mets in 1973. And Yogi Berra was managing the Mets that year.
Now, Tom Seaver was a hell of a... he knew a lot about baseball and actually, like, scouting. He was a good scout, too, if people don't know him. He was a good scout, and he knew how to determine if somebody was going to get hurt or not just by the way they pitched and their delivery was, you know? So
yes, he was a very classy gentleman.
Yeah, no, he deserves, and you know, and he's part of the Miracle Mets and everything. Man, wait, one day I got to show you the Mets ball that I have. I have the inaugural season Mets ball of Citi Field.
Right.
I went to the Mets All-Star game that year. What was that, 2009 or something like that, when they had the Mets All-Star game? I got all the Mets, Howard Johnson, Darryl Strawberry, Mike Piazza on there. I got all of them on there on one ball, man. And
I go back to Rusty Staub and Cleon Jones and Don Clendenin, you know, when I go back to my very young age of the Mets, you know. Cleon Jones, Rusty Staub, you know, Jerry Grody, you know, Jerry Kuzman. You know, that's because I'm 20 years older than you. So I, as a little kid, those were the guys on the Mets for me.
Yeah, let's switch this up. Michael's telling me that the Yankee magic number to clinch the playoffs is 20, and any combination of Orioles losses or Tigers results in Yankees clinching a playoff berth. So that's super important. So that means we have to win every day. You know what I'm saying? We got to win these games, especially against Toronto.
Yeah, you know, really, what it is a case of, I think the Yankees have blown the chance of winning the American League East division. They are 6.5 games behind the Rays. So they are playing the majority of their games against the Toronto Blue Jays and against the Baltimore Orioles during this September, except for one series in Boston against the Red Sox and the final series of the season against the Miami Marlins at home at Yankee Stadium. So they're really going to be battling the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right. It's going to be Baltimore and Toronto. And then we got Boston that's horrible too, and then Miami. But the thing is that these are the type of games that hurt the Yankees. These easy games. That's what I don't understand. When you're like, oh, man, we're going to play Baltimore tonight, especially, right? We're like, yeah, we should be able to beat these guys. And then for some reason, we end up losing. Like last night, they almost came back and won the game. You know?
Yes. Yeah. They've been playing, you know, mediocre baseball. They've been playing at the same level of the teams they're playing. All the games are very close. And the Yankees are not this dominant team that many of the fans thought that they would be. They have a lot of injuries. A lot of guys are underperforming. And that was the whole thing. You know, when people were saying, oh, they're definitely going to plow through the American League and win the division and plow through the playoffs, they, you know, on paper, that's what it looked like. But then they had a lot of injuries and other guys are not playing up to their potential. They have to, paper, they look great. But then with all the injuries, you know, they don't play the games on paper. They have to play them in the field. And the Yankees are underperforming.
Yeah, especially Brett. I don't want to talk bad, but Brett Gardner, man, he looks like he's not even competitive anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it looks like I'm going up there trying to swing at a major league pitch. You know what I'm saying? But he's still a hell of a fielder, though. That's the thing. We still need his defense, but he kind of losing his bat there. You know, he's not coming around
on it. Gary Sanchez has 7 homers, but he's hitting .130.
Yeah,
Aaron Hicks is hitting under .200.
Yeah,
you know
that's not good.
There's 4 guys in the lineup hitting under .200. For goodness sake.
Yeah, especially in scoring position, they're not doing anything. You know what I mean?
No.
They're not doing anything. You know
exactly. And then finally, we finished up with the doubleheader yesterday against the Orioles. And as we were talking about, the Yankees won the first game 6-5. And the Yankees won their 19th straight off of the Orioles at that point. And Jonathan Holder earned a win. And Sanchez did hit a home run. But as you were saying, it took them extra innings to do that. And, you know, the Orioles did come back and tie the game at 4-4. And, you know, it was a seven-inning doubleheader. But they ended up playing 9 innings because the Orioles took them to extra innings. And the Yankees just hung on to win. And in the second game of the doubleheader, the Yankees lost 6-3. Davey Garcia had good pitching. Clark Schmidt, that was very weird how Aaron Boone brought Clark Schmidt into that game with people on base. And I brought Clark Schmidt into that game, and he really gave it up against the Orioles as the Orioles won the game 6-3. So that is we're all caught up on the games now.
Yeah, man.
And the Yankees are pretty much playing mediocre.
Clark Schmidt, he was a big hype too, man. I had a lot of belief in him too. Hopefully he can come back and do it. But like these guys are saying, Luke Voit, he's playing hurt too, but he's hitting, but he's playing hurt. There's something in his running. Like I guess he can't step correctly. Or something, maybe his knee hurts or something, but he's running awkwardly. You know what I mean? So he's playing hurt, so that sucks. But yeah, and hopefully these other guys come back. But right now, man, it's crucial that we get everybody to play because they need to wake up, like my man Michael was saying.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Yes, Gio Urshela has also gone on the injured list now. And so has Jonathan Loaisiga. Jonathan Loaisiga was sick. I'm not sure exactly what is wrong with Jonathan Loaisiga. He was sick. He might be under protocol. I don't know, you know. But Jonathan Loaisiga is on the injured list now. And so Gio Urshela went on as well. So the injuries just keep coming.
Right. Here's the question. What do you think about the Yankees not doing anything at the deadline?
Well, Cashman felt that the other teams were asking for too much. You know, they have some untouchables on that Yankee roster as far as prospects and young players. And Cashman felt that, you know, the prices that the other teams were asking for personnel were way too high, and Cashman did not want to give up some of his young players for what could possibly be just be a rental player.
Right, hold on. We got breaking news. Shout out to the four line on the check-in. Thank you guys for watching. They saying no DJ LeMahieu today. I haven't seen that, but yeah, no DJ LeMahieu. That's not good neither, man. But on the question of the trade deadline, this is the worst I've ever seen the Yankees young talent flooding into the top major league team. You know what I mean? Like these guys like Rafael Floreal or whatever, these guys would take 4 or 5 years, maybe 5, 6, 7 years to make it to the Yankees. Right? Or maybe even get traded.
Esteban Floreal has been around for a long time. I believe he signed at 16 years old. Wow. And he still is very young.
Well, just making an example of type of guys that are coming up so quickly that they're not prepared for these types of situations yet. They don't have the arm strength as a normal MLB player would, or even AAA, let's say, that's been playing for a while in AAA. You know what I'm saying? So it's really bad where, like, let's say 10, 15 years ago, right? Yankee farm system was the greatest since the 90s, right? With Jeter and all that. Yankee farm system has been the best. Mm-hmm. But let's say 10, 15 years ago, before 2010 or so, there wasn't really any prospects making it to the Yankee squad. You know what I'm saying? They weren't coming up to the team. Cashman was getting people from other places. He was bringing in players. You know, he was bringing in the talent from other... He would get washed up guys and put them on the Yankees, you know, and stuff like that. But really, like AAA guys wouldn't come up. Like, perfect example, Austin Romine. Right, the catcher. How long has he been in the minor leagues farm system for the Yankees? Forever. And now, finally, the last 2 years, he was able to come up and play because Sanchez was hurt. But if, you know, like, example like that. Like, but now it's like a flood of guys. Like, they don't even get a chance to play in Staten Island Yankees or nothing like that. They just go. So basically, like, right now, I could go to Yankee Stadium, right? Fill out an application and say, I want to pitch for the Yankees. And by Wednesday, I'll be pitching in Yankee Stadium. You see me pitching. Oh, man.
You would be a veteran. You'd be a veteran pitcher now that you're in your 30s. You would be like the oldest rookie. You would be.
Yeah, man. I'll play the part, man. Yes.
There was a period of time when the Yankee farm system was a bit on the dry side. And then in the mid-2010s, when the Yankees started to do a little bit of rebuilding, even though they stayed well above 500 team, they did a little bit of rebuilding of the farm system. You know, remember in 2016, they traded Chapman, and they traded Andrew Miller, and they brought back Clint Frazier, and they brought back Labor Torres, and then Aaron Judge came up, and Gary Sanchez came up. And so their farm system, they replenished their farm system in the mid-2010s, more or less. So they've had a fairly strong farm system since then. But there was a time period where the Yankees farm system was a bit on the dry side, and they were getting players from outside of the organization.
Yeah, which they still need to do. You know, a lot of those guys, they should keep secret and keep them down there to build up. You know, like, perfect example with Soriano. I mean, when he started pitching, they were hell-bent to making him a starter when he wasn't even ready to be a starter. That's why he's hurt now. You know what I'm saying? So those were the beginnings of the prospects coming up. For whatever reason, they had some type of strategy at that time to bring these guys up. You know what I mean? And
yes.
And it worked out with Judge. Well, not really, but you know what I mean. With Judge, Sanchez, and Soriano. I mean, Soriano. Severino, I'm sorry. Severino.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying Soriano. Severino. Those guys, that core, they try to bring those guys up. But before that, there was none. You know what I mean? But then again, Cashman is not helping the team. At every deadline, I don't know how long has it been since he made a real trade at the trade deadline.
Well, I mean, he didn't do it last year.
It's been a while. It's been a while. I don't even remember the last time.
Well, in 2018, when he got several different pitchers, he got oh my goodness, it's going right out of my head.
So now I'm hearing that DJ LeMahieu, he's just resting. Aaron Boone is resting DJ LeMahieu, which is a stupid idea because this is like do or die games. You know, so why are you gonna rest the guy? You know what I mean?
Why did I know? Sometimes, you know, with managers, you always have to question. Aaron Boone bring Clark Schmidt into an inning with people already on base for his debut? Clark Schmidt is a starting pitcher, and he brought him in as a relief pitcher, and Clark Schmidt gave it up at that point. I can't really blame Clark Schmidt. You know, he was brought into a situation he wasn't used to, and this was his major league debut.
Well, he was pitching very well in Yankee Stadium and in the Yankee summer camp. You know what I mean? But going back to resting DJ LeMahieu, right? As a manager, right? You got to understand.
I'm sorry to cut in real fast. I was thinking about when Cashman, I believe it was 2018, brought Lance Lynn, and remember that was a very good move.
Yeah, but he was like a rental, you know.
Yeah.
But come to talk about DJ LeMahieu resting, right? Under the circumstances, right? And as you get together as a team, you got to tell these players, like, listen, I know it's only 2 months of baseball, but, like, I need your commitment to play every day. You know what I'm saying? No matter what, I understand you might get hurt. You're going to get hurt. But can you endure the pain and play through it to play? You know, and don't punk out as no baby, man. Are we going to be men or are we going to be boys, man? That's it. I don't want to hear about what Donnie, you got to say in the medical office. If your feet could work, it's not broken. You're getting out there. You know what I'm saying? If you could still do this with your wrists, you could still play. You know what I
mean? Mickey Mantle used to get all wrapped up back in the 50s and 60s. They had bandages all over Mickey Mantle back in those days, and they played.
I mean, let's do what we have to do. If we have to bandage you up, and do we have to get a sponsor with Ben Gay to get buckets of this stuff and put it on you? We'll do it. I mean, but at least say, all right, you guys ain't going to have no day off. That's it. You're not going to have no day off. You're going to play every day. You know, maybe a doubleheader or something. I can understand that. You know, you give a guy a break maybe through that. But no, I want you to play every day. If you could do it, if you want to play the doubleheader too, let's do it. Let's be men. You know, exactly. Look at the Dodgers, man. They're what, 30-10 or whatever that's?
3-10 now.
Right? And they're playing every day. Ain't nobody taking days off over there.
No. I will tell you, but I would say that we're pretty much caught up. And with me a little bit under the weather, I was hoping we can cut it a little bit early here, that we cut it off at about a half hour today. And we'll be checking in again on Wednesday. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, definitely, man. Tomorrow, I'm going to be barbecuing at the lakes over there. I'm going to have a little barbecue. I'm going to bring out my wiffle ball bat and the tees. So I'll probably have a live stream sometime in the afternoon somewhere. So hopefully you guys will check in with me on that. See us play some stuff. But hopefully the Yankees do not tank and we get to the playoffs. But you know, the playoffs are going to be a whole different breed because Let me just explain one thing with the playoffs. When we get to the playoffs, we never played those other teams. You know what I'm saying? That they're going to put us against. We never played them yet. So it's going to be 0-0. So that's the worst part of it all. That we haven't even got our feet wet with them or don't even know them. And we're going to play them in the playoffs. You know, that's going to be tough. That's going to be a great, man. I don't know if hopefully the Yankees could do it. I know they can, but can they do it? Do they have a rally in their bones? As big Michael Kay was saying.
Final month of September. Big final month. The Yankees have to step up.
What we got? 2 more weeks? 3 more weeks of baseball?
Yes.
Right? So, I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm going to put this up on Spotify after this so other people can hear it. And thank goodness the audio worked this time. You know, because I don't know what the hell. I don't know what was going on with my computer with this audio business. But hopefully,
we had a little technical difficulty.
Yeah, hopefully it works now and it sounds good. But we're back. And we'll see everybody on the next one. So long, everybody. And see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Take care.